pray. Father, I thank you for how awesome you are. I thank you for your presence, your spirit here in this place. I thank you for speaking to our hearts, for giving us life, wholeness, joy, and rest. Holy Spirit, just speak to us. Cause us to see, cause us to hear. Cause us to be bold and courageous and step out when you bid us come. I thank you, Lord. In your name I pray, amen. So we've been talking about a culture of honor, and Bruce talked last week and he said that he read one of my messages and said that I needed to speak it. So I said, okay, I took it and I pretty much erased it all. Holy Spirit kind of took me a different way. So, I mean, and it's similar to the same, but just different. Okay, that's really weird. But that's kind of like Holy Spirit, isn't it? So I feel like God laid on me three things. I feel like I'm really... creating a culture of honor. So the Father was speaking to me about culture, honor, and freedom. Okay, so I want to cover culture. So what is the culture that you live in? That's the first thing I want to ask. What is the culture that you live in? Now let me tell you, think about that as I tell you what culture means. The customary beliefs, social forms, and material traits of a racial, religious, or social group. The characteristic features of everyday existence shared by people in a place or time. The set of shared attitudes, values, goals, and practices. The training and development of the mind. What kind of culture do you live in? Let me get a little deeper. Can I meddle today? I'm going to meddle a little bit, okay? And if you don't like it, just don't take it. But what, your inner culture. What's your inner culture? Is it rest? Is it peace? Is it trust in Him? Yeah. Or is it anxiety, stress, worry? I think when you live in the culture of America, if you can get caught up in some of the stress, in some of the worry, and you know what I mean? So you have to make sure that your inner culture is where God wants you to be. Is where you are called to be. What about if you're married? What is your married life? Or maybe let's go further, your family life. What is it like at your home? Your culture at home. It's funny when you have people come live with you and they're like, you guys do this? Oh, you do that? Okay, I like to call the culture your normal. And everybody has a different normal, don't they? And your normal is normal to you. You may not know that it's not normal. You know, some kids that have been abused all their lives think that it's normal. They've never been a part of a family that loves each other. So what's your normal? Okay, like go to work now. Does your culture totally change at work because of the people that you're with? It's interesting to start thinking about your culture. Even in church, churches have a culture. You can go to different churches and feel, oh, they are really friendly here. Or, oh, wow, they are really servants here. Oh, wow, they love the word. Oh, they love to worship. You can see culture. You can see beliefs, customs, how they think. who or what has influenced your life the most? Who has shaped and molded who you are? Just some kind of deep questions to think about. And let me tell you, the best cultivator of culture is Jesus, is God, right? He can bring you into a new normal, and he actually did it, didn't he? When he took us from being sinners to being sons and daughters, he took you into a whole different culture. And he's saying, now you don't have to deal with punishment or performing, because that was the Old Testament to be in relationship with him. Now it's just you get to relate in intimacy and love. And that's a whole different culture. And that's what we get to explore. When we give our hearts to Jesus, he comes in and we start this amazing relationship that we really can stand and wonder, because he's so amazing. He's so good. He knows your heart, like Riley said. He knows your heart, and he knows how to touch you. He knows how to have intimacy with you. So it's amazing. Your culture, I loved it. I was reading about tulips. Do you know the Netherlands produces the most tulips? But the Netherlands is so cold that you can't just go plant tulips outside in the Netherlands. There's huge greenhouses. But they created a culture in the midst of a culture that you can't act in or grow in. And they created a culture where they could grow. And that's what God wants to do with us here. He wants to bring his kingdom into you and create this culture in the midst of this world and produce through you, bring life through you, bring hope and joy and change to this world through you. All right. I love my heritage. I had at least 3 generations, if not more, of spirit-filled believers. That's what gets passed down. And I'd probably say it's more like 5 generations of spirit-filled believers. And that's what I want. We can pass our culture onto our kids. And part of the culture is your moral stability, you know, who, your nature, your character, passing it on to your kids and teaching them how to do that. And God gave us his character, right? His nature. So along with the Holy Spirit, we have to create a culture that honors God. Okay, so keep remembering culture. And now I want to talk about honor. And I know Bruce talked a lot about the definition. So, and he said to value, to respect, heavy, weighty, to glory. And if you think about it, the Bible is primarily about relationships, isn't it? Ours with God and then ours with others. So I loved, you know, when I brought up the Greek meaning of honor, the Hebrew meaning came up. And it said heavy, honor, or liver. I love the Hebrew language. It always gives you a picture. Do you know what your liver does? It cleans your blood. And I was like, okay. So I went and looked up what the liver does. It filters. The liver filters all the blood in the body and breaks down poisonous substances, such as alcohol and drugs. Digestion, it creates bile to process and purify materials absorbed by your small intestine. The metabolism, it ensures the level of sugar in your blood stays constant. And it stores vitamins and minerals, which provides energy for your body. Everything we eat, breathe, and put onto our body has to be detoxed by the liver. You can't live without your liver. It's so vital to you. So now, put honor in there. You can't live without honor. Everything we eat, breathe, and comes to our body or into honor, it has to be filtered through honor. Have you ever thought of that? Because it'll keep you constant. Honor gives you nutrients to give you energy to keep you moving. And then when you get low in an area, it'll bring you up because, oh, I have some extra, I'm just going to give it to you. Because it stores vitamins and minerals. It purifies, like we said, it breaks down the poisonous things. How many ever has had somebody say something to you and then you're like, I don't want to receive that? If honor is our filter, it immediately tells us, no, that's not going to be good for my body. It's not, and physically too, not going to be good for me to think that way. It processes and purifies. Honor processes and purifies. It ensures you stay constant, full of life and energy. Danny Silk says, honor is the relational currency of heaven, which to me is honor in the kingdom of God is all about relating one to another. It's all about relating one to another and to God. When you have relationships and live in honor, what is said and done will be processed and purified by honor, making sure you stay steady and unbroken, full of life, purity, and energy. Can you guys tell when you feel negative? Do you pay attention? How long can you go when you feel the negative? How many have been like me and sometimes have gone on and on and on? And then I'm like, wait a second, there's no life there. I got to get back in honor. We are a people of honor. We don't honor because someone has earned it. Right? We honor because that is what God says to do. And that is who we are. Let everything flow through honor. Romans 12, 9 through 12. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Abhor what is evil. Honor purifies. It breaks down the poison. Cling to what is good. It keeps the nutrients that are needed. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence. Remember, honor keeps you constant, steady, and unbroken. Fervent in spirit. Remember, it produces energy to keep you going. Serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Life flows through honor. The Bible says to honor God, to honor leaders, honor your father and mother, honor widows, honor, honor, honor. And then there's one verse that says honor all. I love it because it just covers it all for me. I was doing a study a long time ago with this, and I was like, oh, I got to honor my leaders. I was starting to write down everybody I have to honor. And then I came to honor all, and I said, wow, why didn't I just get that one first? Because that's just easy. honor all. The culture of honor, Bruce had said this, the culture of honor is all about family resemblance. We are designed to be like, act like, and function like God. Did you know that God honors you? God honors you. In John 12:26, it says, if anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. When you serve him, he will honor you. I love the story that I read about John Bevere. He said, you know, he was reading about the scripture that says, do you know he thinks more highly of you than himself? Do you know that God thinks more highly of you than himself? And John was like, what? That's not true. And so he said, God, give me three scriptures. So the one I just read was one of them. Or no, maybe it was, or no, not just read, but before. But let me read this one. Philippians 2:1-5. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This was his mind. He thought in lowliness of mind and esteemed others better than himself. You know, one of the problems is parents tell kids to do things they don't do, or to do things, or they do things that they tell them not to do. So God, when he said, esteem others better than yourself, he said to John Bevere, I would never tell you to do something I don't do myself. Philippians 2:24 says, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. He hung on the cross bearing your sin, sickness, disease, poverty, and judgment because he esteemed you better than himself. That's powerful to me. Jesus, in honor, purchased our freedom. So the culture, we have to create a culture of honor. And to create a culture of honor, we have to understand what freedom is. I felt like the Holy Spirit asked me, what is freedom to you? And I was like, well, to do anything you want, whenever you want, however you want. And he's like, nice try. No. But I think that's a lot of times what we think freedom is. And that's where we get messed up, because with freedom, there's a lot of responsibility to keep our freedom. When God talked about freedom, he was talking about being free from bitterness, being free from unforgiveness, being free from offenses. It's being free from the voice of the enemy that has negative, judgmental, critical, accusatory, guilt, shame, condemnation coming at you, right? It's being free. In Galatians 5:19-21, I don't know if I gave it to him or not. It says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in past time, or times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom. This is what you are not. And if you notice, over 50% of those are relational. They have to do with me and you. Do you know that 6 out of the 10 commandments are about me and you? The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's who the Holy Spirit is in you. And that's what you get to birth. Fruit. Fruit produces. That's what you get to cultivate. That's what your culture needs to be, is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And if you're coming into a situation where you need kindness, be like, Holy Spirit, I need kindness. Because in this moment, I want to do fivefold ministry. So I love the end of the fruit of the Spirit, because it says, against such there is no law. There's no law in behaving in any of these ways. There's no law says that these things are wrong. And there's no law that exists against any of these. And I like to add, you can use them. There's no limit to how much kindness. Galatians 5:1. You know, Danny Silk, I love what he says. God is perfect freedom, and he created us in his image to be free. So Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Galatians 5:7-9. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. So we can choose. We can choose to be in bitterness. We can choose to take that offense. We can choose those things. And this is what Paul is saying. He's like, wait, remember to stand fast in your freedom. Stand fast in honor, because it'll keep you free. Because you're going to have a chance. You're going to have a moment where you're going to get to operate in the Spirit to keep free. You're going to have to be responsible to recognize and say no to be free. Galatians 5:13-15. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. I love it in the Message. He says, it is absolutely clear that God has called you to live a free life. Just make sure that you don't use this freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want to do and destroy your freedom. Rather, use your freedom to serve one another in love. That's how freedom grows. When you serve one another in love, who are you serving? We serve God, but it says when we serve one another. I love it. Chris Vallotton, who is probably the second head of Bethel, says, any place that I go, I get underneath someone. I get underneath someone. Why? Because you get to serve and you have to follow and you have to relate. It's how freedom grows. For everything we know about God's word is summed up in one single sentence. Love others as you love yourself. They'll know we're his disciples if we have love for one another. When they start seeing us love each other in a way that they come in and are like, wow, I want to be a part of that. They're like family. That's an act of true freedom when you love others as yourself. It says, if you bite and ravage each other, watch out. In no time at all, you will be annihilating each other. And where will your precious freedom be then? Ouch, right? Paul is saying this for a reason. You have the chance to be jealous. You have the chance to be envious. You have the chance to be bitter. You have the chance to be angry. You have the chance for everything. But when you filter it through honor, it purifies it, doesn't it? Because you say, no, I think more highly of them than myself. No, I see Jesus in them. I control me. I don't control you. We were not created to rule or control each other. If I control myself, I am free to honor you no matter what you do. Does it hurt? Sometimes. But who's the comforter? Holy Spirit. That's why he said he sent you the comforter. My days or my circumstances don't manage me. And I'm not at the mercy of what might happen. To honor all people, not just those we think deserve it or have something to deserve it or have done something to deserve it. To choose to honor others regardless of their character flaws. To choose to see God in others and pull that out of them. To choose freedom, life, love. Choosing to create a safe place and empower those in our lives. How to protect your connection. And find value in each other, that is when you will find freedom. And those are ones, I mean, I know this is a real broad, you know, of relationship and freedom, and I would love to actually get into creating a safe place. What does that mean? You know, empowering those in our lives, what does that mean? Protecting your connection, what does that mean? You know, in finding value. In closing, creating a culture of honor, now nothing from my past can be passed on without my permission. Now I can pass honor, power, love, freedom onto my children and their children. I know that I am made in the image and glory of God, and I can walk in the power of honor, which releases the freedom to fully express God's perfect love in my relationships. Honor. I have a new filter now. because I want to honor well. And I know God does. Go ahead and stand with me. Father, I just thank you for your goodness and your grace. Oh, your grace that cultivates our lives, that it would create a culture of the kingdom of heaven within it, and that you speak to our hearts, and that we're not trying to do anything, but we're just simply listening to you. That honor would so guard us that it would keep us in freedom and keep life flowing. Life flowing. Lord, I ask that you would just bless this people. Lord, that you would give them boldness and courage, Father, to step out of the things that they may seem are their protection, are their comfort, are their provision, and step out into you and take the risk of going where no man has gone before. Bless them with boldness and courage to take your hand and walk on the water as you speak. As you speak that word of life that can break every chain, every fetter that has broke every chain, every fetter. I thank you, Lord. I ask that you bless them, that your favor would be upon them, that they would see your face and hear your voice. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.